So this is your second time of being a mission partner, this time in Colombia, previously in Antigua. What's been the difference between the two postings?
I think we found Antigua incredibly satisfying when it came to job that we were doing. We felt like we really helped to develop the mission of the Guard Center where we were placed. But without a doubt, we found it very socially challenging, and not only because our second daughter was born there. So with all of the joys of parenthood, it was the first time when we lived abroad and we were learning how to cope with that, how to find new friends, and we found that quite challenging. Now, the second time, we were prepared for all of that. However, we took on an extra challenge, and that was to learn a new language.
And how did that work out?
For some of us, better than others. So I'm not a natural linguist. It took me longer, put it that way. It wasn't actually my first time living abroad, because I had lived in Prague before. And Spanish compared to Czech was a beautiful walk in the park. So, yeah, it wasn't great, but it was a lot easier than Czech. We were fortunate in that people spoke slowly and clearly for us. And that's particularly our boss. He was very accommodating. So we got better over time. Vicar got much better than me, I must admit, but we got better.
So what did you get sent out to Colombia originally to do? What was your mission while you were mission partners?
So, yeah, Vicar's background is in program development and program funding. So she was working with the Centre for Projects that the church has set up over there, predominantly helping them to develop new programs and also helping them find funding from different institutional or different organisations, both church-based and non-church-based. My background's technology, so the church had identified some needs in terms of communications, in terms of systems that were needed both for their internal kind of ways of working, as well as for some of the projects they were running. So they run a number of clinics, they run a responsible bank for young entrepreneurs, and they wanted a number of systems built up to work in those projects.
That's a very different vision for mission to what a lot of people believe it to be, who imagine it to be on some beach somewhere building things out of palm trees. But for you, it was actually proper IT, computers and communications.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, I'm a bit of a workaholic in some sense. I like kind of jumping in and getting my hands dirty in kind of the day-to-day work. And I wanted, yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the reasons that we actually liked working for the Methodist Church, in that mission. I'm not the world's greatest evangelist or anything like that, and the mission could be quite practical, could be supporting organisations and churches that are already doing great work in their evangelism, and kind of using your professional skills to help them do that better.
One of the things that you got quite involved with was the issue about refugees coming across from Venezuela.
Yeah, I think throughout our time in Colombia, the refugee crisis got worse, and there are now about 1.5 million of Venezuelans living in Colombia. Most of them are not there legally. We could see the increase of the Venezuelans in the country every day. I mean, you can see crowds of people on the traffic lights, begging for change. You can see people walking the streets, walking on foot all the way from the border with Colombia across the country to Ecuador or Peru. Now, this is thousands of kilometers that they have to walk.
Started really with one of the pastors in the towns that was very close to the Venezuelan border in Bucaramanga, and it was his suggestion that the church got involved. He didn't really know how or what to do, but he saw that need and wanted the church to get involved. So his contact with Vika was how it really kind of started off, and she helped him discover funding opportunities. We actually kind of tapped into our local network of friends and international network of friends to start up what originally it started as a children's club. So it's quite hard work for the children that have left their home country and gone to Colombia to fit into the schools, to be accepted. And there was a lot of social need, really, with them. And so the church's work started off running kids clubs, so running children's clubs in that area, and that rapidly expanded to other areas. And the other need we saw is Vika talked about the caminantes, the people that are walking from Venezuela all the way across the country to Ecuador and to Peru and other places. And it was really distressing to see how ill-equipped many of those were when they arrived in the country. Lots of them would be leaving coastal areas of Venezuela, where it's, you know, beautiful Caribbean sun and very hot, and not realizing that there's mountains in Colombia that go up to 4,000 meters. Some of them were dying, quite frankly, at night when it was so cold. And so there was a network of shelters set up by local churches that we were involved in along some of those key routes. And we were also involved in trying to provide information in advance so that when people left the country, they could see where they could stop at different shelters, the spacing between them, the altitude, and allow all the different partners to contribute to the, a website that we created that provided the information of those services. So again, quite practical things, but unbelievably essential. I spent quite a bit of time at the border town in Cúcuta, and the sheer volume of people coming over the border every day was just astounding. And then the most emotional time for me was when I saw four girls about the height of my daughter carrying between them one enormous bag, one handle each, absolutely nothing else, the flip-flops, t-shirts, and heading off into the hills. And at their first point of call, one of the pastors kind of ran out and stopped them and said, before you go any further, stop, have some food, have a drink. The next shelter's 6 hours away. It's another 2,000 meters higher. And they were just completely oblivious and unaware of what was ahead of them. It was a really, the need was so obviously there and being met as best as it could be by a whole network of different churches. And it was really nice to be able to help, be part of that and kind of help them work together better.
And how did you find daily life in Colombia? Because we have a view maybe over here that it's all gangs and all sorts of things like that going on. But how is daily life in the cities for normal people?
In Medellin, which is where we were based, was a fantastic city. It's got about 3 million people, and it reminds me of any other developed Western city. So there are areas where there are skyscrapers, beautiful apartments, very posh shopping centers. And of course, it has other neighborhoods which are a lot more run down, and there is no infrastructure. Houses have no power, no water. So you can find everything in this fantastic city. Now it's all set in beautiful Andy mountains. People are really friendly and willing to help. It was really easy to settle in.
I've never been in a country where the divides between the rich and the poor have been as extreme as they were in Colombia. So there were beautiful parts of Medellin, and there were poorer parts of the city, but within the country as a whole, it was quite interesting to see that massive divide within the one country. And what the church is doing there is really impressive, because the head office is in quite a nice part of Medellin, and yet they see where the state has neglected to work with people in the very poor areas, and they're helping to plug that gap by running clinics, by helping bringing running water, things that really the state should be doing but just aren't doing. We didn't have much experience of guns or drugs and that kind of stuff, but we did see that, that kind of absolute poverty, and see the huge impact that the church was having there.
And you took your children out with you, didn't you? How did that work out for them? Did they settle in quite quickly to life in Colombia?
Yeah, I think both of our girls learned Spanish within about 6 months, to the point that the younger one is now sounds now native, as if she was born in that part of Colombia. So if she answers a phone, nobody knows they're not speaking to a Colombian child. And they did find friends very quickly in their school. The school where we enrolled them was supposed to be bilingual. Fortunately enough, it wasn't. So that helped their Spanish.
And how are you all settling back into the UK now?
Weather-wise, it's a bit of a challenge, I must admit. But we've got lots of coats and jumpers and fitting in with that. It's always difficult. The kind of the reverse culture shock is sometimes harder than the culture shock of going somewhere, because you're never quite sure. You're never really expecting it, I suppose, especially when you move back into the same house and the same area as you were before. For me, the hardest thing is people having such little awareness of what's going on in other parts of the world in general. And that's not a criticism. It's, I think, that the media here and the general understanding, let's say, of the Venezuelan migrant situation is so low that many people are genuinely surprised when we talk to them about the kind of things that we were working with. And that's, yeah, it's just a surprise and a bit frustrating sometimes when you kind of see such a major problem being addressed by small numbers of churches, and you kind of expect when we were in Colombia, we kind of thought the whole world knew about it, and it's a bit of a surprise to find out that actually they didn't. So that's been a challenge. But otherwise, yeah, no, it's nice to be home, and the girls are fitting in well and meeting up with old friends, and it's pretty good.